Welcome to Buzz House, a Baker Tilly podcast where you can hear all the buzz around multifamily housing with all the info you need to help you win now and anticipate tomorrow. Hi, I'm Don Bernards, the principal in charge of Baker Tilly's multifamily housing practice.
And I'm Garrick Gibson, a principal at Baker Tilly, also specializing in consulting on multifamily housing transactions across the country.
Let's get started. As Garrick and I frequently talk about, there is a need for housing at all income levels. To do that, we need to continue to be creative in looking at what resources we can tap to help finance these apartment projects. Garrick and I are very excited today to have joining us in the Buzz House our Baker Tilly colleagues, Warren Oakes and Jillian O'Brien. Hey, Warren. Hey, Jillian. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks.
Glad to be here.
We're going to start talking about what EB-5 is for those who are not familiar with it and discuss how it could be used for housing projects. And then also what type of housing projects, and end with a discussion around legislation. Now we're going to jump right in. Garrick's going to jump right into our discussion with Warren and Jillian. Garrick?
Thanks, Don. And Warren and Jillian, thanks for being on Buzz House. But before we jump in with some specific questions around EB-5 and housing, why don't you give our listeners some insight in your professional backgrounds and the service you provide with Baker Tilly? We'll start with you, Warren.
Sure. Thanks for having us on here. Very excited to share the EB-5 world with the bigger financing space, especially for real estate financing. I started off in the EB-5 space in 2013, so a little over a decade now. I started off working at a development firm here in Southern California that was using EB-5 money to fund a very large mixed-use development here. So I cut my teeth there, figured out how EB-5 is effectively used for a project, figured out, you know, there's a lot of rules and regulations around it, especially today. From there, I moved on to teaching people about EB-5 on an online platform. And then for the longest time, I've actually been working, before working at Baker Tilly, I was working at an immigration law firm that focused on EB-5. And I specialized in helping developers, like our clients and friends here at Baker Tilly, to effectively use EB-5, structure their projects effectively, and remain in compliance. I also helped regional centers, which are entities that help sponsor EB-5 projects, to start off from the ground up and then remain in compliance.
I'll share next. So I've been in the EB-5 space since 2012, and I've spent most of my career prior to coming to Baker Tilly growing, starting, and successfully operating an EB-5 regional center in Massachusetts. Today, my work is primarily centered on advising regional centers and project developers that want to put together qualified EB-5 projects. At Baker Tilly, we can help prepare an EB-5 compliant business plan, economic report, and a targeted employment area letter. We help create new regional centers, and we also have another side of our business that provides fund administration services.
Perfect. Thanks for those intros. We'd like to jump into some questions now. Jillian, since you left off, for those of our listeners who are hearing the phrase EB-5 for the first time, can you give them a 30,000-foot overview of the program?
Absolutely, Garrick. I'd love to do that. EB-5 stands for Employment-Based Fifth Preference, which is an U.S. visa category that allows a foreign individual to invest capital into job-creating businesses in the United States. And in turn, the benefit to the investor is they receive a green card for themselves, their spouse, and any unmarried child under the age of 21. In 1992, Congress created a EB-5 regional center pilot program, which allowed for investors to pool their capital into projects together. With this transformation in the program, we saw a lot more EB-5 projects that were focusing on real estate-based projects because the regional center also allowed projects to include jobs that were from indirect and induced construction expenditures.
Thank you very much for that, Jillian, that 30,000-foot overview. Turn over to Warren. Garrick and I, when we were first kind of brainstorming with you two, excited to hear that EB-5 has and is being used for the development of new multifamily projects. Can you discuss how this capital even might flow or structure it into a multifamily housing real estate project?
Sure, absolutely. EB-5 is effectively used as a cheaper source of financing for developers across the United States. While that's a good thing, it's not necessarily fast financing. So this is a major caveat that I'd really like people to understand here, which is EB-5 is good to use, but you probably need to set up other sources of short-term financing that will help your project to continue to develop while you're waiting for EB-5 money to come in. And then once the EB-5 money does come in, you can use that EB-5 funding to take out the short-term financing. And there's hundreds of projects across the United States that have effectively used this model for many years now. And USCIS regularly approves these models as part of the approval process. So it's true and used method of using EB-5. If we look at the numbers, let's say a regular construction loan comes in at around 12%, maybe a little bit lower these days. And EB-5 money can potentially come in at around 6 or 8% for your cost of money there. So this is why it's very attractive for developers to potentially use EB-5 money as part of their capital stack. The only other thing I would note is you don't want to think of EB-5 as your total capital stack. The EB-5 market doesn't like to see that. USCIS or immigration does not like to see that either. So keep in mind that it should only be part of your capital stack.
Perfect. Thanks for that, Warren. Back to you, Jillian. When should a developer think about if EB-5 could be a possibility for their capital stack? What attributes, size, when should someone start thinking about it?
Sure. So we always recommend to developers to start thinking about EB-5 at the very beginning, potentially prior to even acquiring the property if they're interested in utilizing EB-5. The main reason for that is because of something called a targeted employment area. And that is based on the physical address of a project. And we look for the targeted employment area because it allows an investor to invest at a lower threshold at an $800,000 level rather than $1,050,000. So if a project is located in a targeted employment area, it makes it a much more marketable project in a very competitive EB-5 market. So we would want to check that for the developer right at the very beginning. Once we've identified whether the project's in a targeted employment area, we can also help by checking how many jobs are going to be created by the project by running a preliminary analysis based on the developer's construction budget and the construction timeline of a project. So we'll take some data points into consideration, and we can provide a preliminary analysis that will say how many jobs that this project can provide for the investors. And then that will help the developer to determine how much EB-5 money that they can raise. However, one thing that we would want to note and want developers to be aware of is that prior to filing, based on the new Reform and Integrity Act of 2022, there's a requirement that a project needs to be reviewed and approved by USCIS. So the project needs to be shovel ready in order to overcome these hurdles by USCIS. And so in order for it to be shovel ready, they need to have a significant amount of documentation available. It needs to be sufficiently developed as an idea and as a project and close to breaking ground. So we would want to be seeing a project that is ready to file an EB-5 application have a budget, a construction schedule by a GC. They would need to have a permitting schedule and potentially signed letter of intent or commitment letter from a senior lender in order to be able to file the application, which would then allow them to raise EB-5 funds.
One quick follow-up question that people maybe in the multifamily space have around job creation compared to a hotel or industrial or other real estate, right? My permanent jobs are one or two or three people in construction. How does this maybe an apartment qualify under jobs, or I can raise money under that? That makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. Because we're able to count indirect and induced jobs, apartment housing projects actually are acceptable because we can look at the hard construction costs and the A&E costs to help to determine how many jobs are going to be created by the project. And so that in turn, obviously a larger project is going to create more jobs based on the amount of money that is being expended. So particularly projects that are lasting over 24 months, we are able to get full benefit from the construction jobs that are being created by that project.
Perfect, perfect. Shifting gears here, this is for you, Warren. Don and I always talk about policy and legislation through various aspects within Buzzhouse. So what is some potential legislation around the EB-5 program that could have a tie-in or some type of impact to the multifamily housing development?
I think I agree with both you, Garrick, and Don, that legislation is some of the more exciting parts of real estate finance. Over the years, EB-5 has had its share of, for better or for worse, the limelight in regards to legislation. The better part is EB-5 is one of the few programs in the nation that still has bipartisan support from both sides of the aisle. It's great to hear politicians realize after so many years that EB-5, sure, it's tied to a green card, but the ultimate goal of the EB-5 program is actually creating investments in the U.S. that result in creating full-time jobs for U.S. workers. And there's been a number of studies that are out there that actually prove this time and time again. Current legislation, though, is focused on renewing the program. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, Congress has not made this program permanent, even though the program has been around since 1991. Every few years, it has faced renewal, and thankfully, it has been renewed every time. And the last renewal was in 2022 as part of the EB-5 Reform and Integrity Act of 2022. And that act allowed the program to be in existence for another 5 years. So we're now coming up close to the end of that 5 years. That'll be in September 30th, 2027. And the EB-5 industry as a whole is already gearing up and ramping up with its efforts to get Congress to renew the program. But as we all know and love, Congress works on their own timeline and timetable. So we just do our best to make sure that they realize how important this program is for the country as well as for local economies. One interesting piece of legislation that has recently come up is there is a congressman in, I believe, Colorado that has put forth a piece of new legislation to renew the program, but also make a special set aside that is geared towards multifamily as well as low-income housing developers. This would make it more attractive for EB-5 investors to invest in these specific types of development projects. The EB-5 investors would receive priority processing of their applications, and they'd be able to invest at the lower $800,000 investment level. So it's all very exciting. This bill has received a tremendous amount of support from within the EB-5 industry, and it just makes sense. The U.S. has a big need for more housing, especially on the coast and elsewhere throughout the country. And EB-5 is such a good and useful tool in order to help finance these developments.
Very good. That's it for this episode of BuzzHouse, discussing the EB-5 program with our Baker Tilly colleagues Warren Oakes and Jillian O'Brien, and how EB-5 is being utilized around multifamily housing development. Any more questions around EB-5, please reach out to Warren and Jillian. Once again, I'm Don Bernards.
And I'm Garrick Gibson.
Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For additional resources around multifamily housing, check out BakerTilly.com. If you have a suggestion for the show, email us at buildabakertilly.com. That's BUILD@BakerTilly.com. See you next time on BuzzHouse.